is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Hour number two of The Big Show, Usual Suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5. Look, if you want to call us, if you want to text us, you can absolutely do that. We're going to open it up. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Big shout out and a big thank you to Dusty Slay for popping in.
Man, he's legit.
Absolutely hilarious. Stalker Brian on Twitter was like, can that dude do two more hours? Hey, look, I knew Dusty was going to be great. That's why I lobbied to get him into studio, because sometimes when these guys come through and I don't know them, it's a lot harder for me to get. But if I can text Dusty directly, which was nice, I could.
Plus, you know him, and it's an easier conversation.
Yeah, so it's much more fun. And yeah, he is absolutely hilarious. So glad he got to stop by. You should definitely go out and support, man. This is one of those guys I think you'll be seeing for a very long time.
He looks like it. I mean, you said it when he was here. You know, if you're doing the improv, you're probably doing something right with your career, and it looks like he's on the right path right now. And look, he kind of admitted a lot of these comics would be so much bigger had they been a little more proactive on social media. He's incredibly more proactive on social media now, and I think it's it's only going uphill for him.
Yeah, he's very creative, very smart writer. I mean, I meant that when I said it, and I've said it before on the show. But the best compliment I think about a joke is when you hear a joke and your two thoughts are, why didn't I think of that? And it was right there. That was so simple, but yet it was so perfect. Right. And it's those are the best jokes. Cause when you watch guys like Carlin, you watch guys like, you know, the Pryors of the world, and they just talk about the things that you're like, oh,
it's so
simple. Of course. Yeah. That's right. I mean, like Bill Cosby and guys like that. So when you listen to Dusty and he talks about, I think we'll have the bit later, but he talks about being at the hotel and the Wi-Fi and stuff like that. Just great stuff, man. Great dude. Very funny. And, yeah, get out there and see him. ImprovTX.com. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Dusty Slay when I saw your show in San Antonio. That dude is for real hilarious. I wish I was in Houston this weekend, NASCAR Johnny. So
yeah.
I mean, so NASCAR Johnny's seen him, so obviously he's a fan.
Yep, big time. Cool, man. So let's see. What I didn't even I got all caught up in having Dusty here and didn't even plan our next segment.
We were talking about the Astros. Yep. If you missed the first hour, we did a lot about the Astros win and the fact that they're advancing, going on to face the Yankees.
One thing I wanted to talk about was the fact that even though some of the seats were empty for the start of the game, that place, Minute Maid Park, was rocking. It was loud. The first strike, the place went nuts. The first strikeout, the place went nuts.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a fantastic venue for playoff baseball. I mean, it's, even if it isn't completely, even if all the seats are not full, it's loud.
It was very loud.
It's loud.
The one thing the one criticism I have of the fans, and I tweeted jokingly about the worst thing about the Astros winning is having to listen to the woos all the way to the car.
Oh, yeah. It's
there. And it's true. They're in the halls, and they're in the stairwells, and out in the parking lot.
Going down the escalators, everywhere.
Oh, and I joke about that. It was, I mean, it's annoying, but I really don't care that much as people think I do.
Did they do the wave?
No. I'm very proud of our fans.
They don't do it every game.
Not do the wave.
They didn't do it. They don't do it every game.
But we need to talk about, as a city, our ability to rally towel. We are not good rally towelers. The rally toweling in this town leaves something to be desired. All right. I watched as grown men and women, very capable grown men and women, struggled to rally towel, struggled to just circle their head with the rally towel at a respectable rate. They would get it wrapped around their hand, and then they would have to, some people were going counterclockwise.
Why is that a struggle?
Some people were going forward and backwards and not in a circle. Like they were, like some people were waving it like they were starting the Indianapolis 500. Yeah, our rally toweling, probably the worst in baseball. It was pretty despicable. I have video evidence of this. It was just awful.
Which is ironic.
Why?
Because we're right down the road from College Station.
Yeah, we're just not used to rallying.
Oh, wait,
they're not
good at it either.
Oh.
I've been at so many games in my life where I'm like, how do you get it tangled in your fingertips?
How are you caught up in your own rally towel? How are you? Yeah. And there was one guy that just took it like he held both corners and just flapped it like he was about to fold a like a shirt
or fight a bull.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not. What are you doing? You're just doing laundry, guy. You're not even rally toweling. You're just doing laundry.
So be better, fans. Be better, Astros fans, about your rally.
I just think we're not used to rallying is the problem. Yeah. We're just used to either we win or lose. We don't rally, and it was pretty bad. I was pretty sad about that for us. And
I'm going to take notice the next time. I didn't notice it until you brought it up, but I'm going to take notice.
The whole world saw it, and it was pretty depressing.
They're rally toweling like they had Tommy John surgery or something like that. Yes. All right, I'll pay attention.
Yeah.
I'll pay attention.
And by the way, updated World Series odds, if you're interested. Houston now a plus 120 to win it all. Second is the Yankees at a plus 240. And the Cards and the Nats both plus 400.
I saw that. I saw you put that. I mean, what do you make of it? Fred was talking about it on the Blitz yesterday, how he was taking, I think the Rays, I think it was plus one or two. Was it two? Was it plus over? It was over 200, I think. And he said that was great value. And so, I mean,
I like the Yankees at plus 240. I really do.
You do?
Yeah, I think the Astros are the better baseball team overall. I think they're deeper. I put together kind of like the chart I did for Astros Rays. I put together the same kind of chart. And I'll tweet those out if you want them. Matt Berry is funny. I did it for both series, too. I did it for the Cardinals, Nationals. But just kind of comparing these offenses and these, you know, the pitching staffs and, yep. and what all that'll look like. And the Astros are the better team, all right? They are the better team top to bottom. The problem is that when you look at these numbers for the Yankees, this was partly numbers based on the fact that they were missing a lot of their stars for most of the year. So, yeah, the Astros are dominant in the hitting categories. Better in average, slugging, OPS, less strikeouts, more walks, more stolen bases. The only place where the Yankees had better numbers than the Astros was home runs and runs scored. And you know, the Astros were still, I mean, it was close, 1-3, 2-3.
Yeah, so it's not a huge discrepancy.
Right, and really not a big discrepancy in the other categories as well, other than maybe stolen bases and strikeouts. Yankees do strike out a lot. But I think where you really see the difference is the pitching staffs. And that's where I think, you know, everybody loves to give props to the Yankees bullpen, and rightfully so. They're a dominant bullpen, but, you know, they blew 28 saves. And I'm sure this would shock you when I told you the Astros as a team only blew 20. As bad as we felt like this bullpen has been. So the Yankees, I think, are susceptible on the mound. This whole series could be a slugfest.
That is a bit of a surprising number. If you had said 20 versus how many saves of the Yankees?
Yankees blew 28 saves, which was 24th.
Yeah.
And they ranked 24th as far as blown saves in the American League, or in baseball, excuse me. The Astros ranked 6th by blowing 20 saves.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting stat to me. For me, I mean, look, the series during the regular season was 4-3. There's no indication to me that this is not going to be a competitive series. And for all the numbers and the stats that you just mentioned, I think it's safe to say that. I think they only won in the series by 2 runs. I think it was a 2-run margin that they won by. In the 7 games that they played. So, to me, there's no indication that this is going to be an easy series for either team.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a good point to point out that it's going to be interesting to see what's going to be the difference in this series because they are so close. But the one thing that I've always talked about with the Yankees is how resilient they've been throughout the regular season. Boy. And we talk about those grinding out type of wins. If it's anything about grinding out and weathering the storm, the Yankees is a team that knows how to do that.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've faced adversity all year. They've been without a complete team pretty much.
In game and through injuries.
Oh, yeah. And don't forget, I mean, they've got suspensions now. Herman is out because of the off-the-field issues that he's had. So, you know, I don't even know. We talked earlier of CeCe Sabathia. He didn't make the ALDS roster. I don't even think he'll make the ALCS roster. We'll find out. But I think this is going to be... It's strength versus strength in a lot of ways, but I think the one big thing that stood out to me when I started putting these numbers together is strikeouts. The Yankees do strike out a lot. They tend to go out there and swing and miss, and the Astros get a lot of strikeouts. They were number one in baseball. So that might be the big advantage here. They both can hit. They both can hit for power. They both can score runs, and they both have, you know, Astros have better pitching, but I think the big difference is the Astros can get swings and misses between Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, and the Yankees do that a lot, and that might be what ultimately decides this series.
That would be an ideal situation if they can get those strikeouts and the bats don't fall into any slump throughout the series. I think you can't ask for more than that. I think that's the combination and defense, no errors. I think that will be enough to beat the Yankees, but they really have to do all that. I mean, the bats. Timing is so important in baseball. I've come to realize that. I mean, I don't know if the rest of the world, people would be shocked, obviously, if the Rays had beaten the Astros, but yeah. people would begin to respect them as a legit team, you know? So so it's just, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to the series. I just think that the difference is going to be momentum, and I think they're going to have to be able to hit the ball pretty quickly against this Yankees team because they know how to deal with adversity anyway.
Yeah, you want to get to the Yankees starters if at all possible. I think that's where the advantage is. They go about five deep in that bullpen, and those five are really, really good. So if you're going to do anything, you want to jump on the Yankees early, similar to what they did last night with the Rays. You saw once the Rays got into their bullpen, they pretty much locked it up, except for the end when Pecan gave up a couple of those home runs, those back-to-back home runs. But this is a Yankees bullpen that you should be worried about, just like you were worried about the Rays. But starters that I think are susceptible, not as dominant as they were expected to be going in. But this lineup, they can put up runs. And, you know, I mean, guys like Zach Greinke that had a bad series, you need to step back up and be the Zach Greinke that we saw go 10-1 after the trade to the Astros. So if I put you on the spot right now, how do you see the series going? How many games and who wins?
I'm gonna say the Astros are gonna win the series, but I think it's gonna go all seven. I don't think it's gonna be a situation where it's a sweep or a significant or a definite win by one team.
So. I'm with you. I think it's Astros in seven. Aaron, your thoughts on it? Who you think or what do you have? How do you see the series going?
I'd like to say Astros in seven.
Ooh,
I'm scared. But I'm not confident in it. I'll leave it at that.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying
I don't want what you want to happen. I don't want what does your sports mind think is going to happen in a seven game series between the Astros and Yankees? What happens?
You know what? I changed my mind. Astros in seven.
I feel like you're just saying that now.
No, because I started thinking about it, and as long as they can get back here for game six and seven, I think they'd be able to handle it again.
Okay, I'm with you. And that's exactly what happened.
If they push it to a game six, game seven, back here at Minute Maid, I think the crowd will carry them for those last two games again.
Yeah, and remember, game six and seven, if the rotation goes the way I think it will, is Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole. Because to start off this rotation, it's Greinke, Verlander, Cole in games one, two, and three. If this goes seven, and it probably will, game six and seven at home, Verlander, Cole, I like their chances.
So, without a doubt.
I'm with you. I think it's Yankees in seven. Although I just pulled it up. My pick at the beginning of the year, I'll let you verify this, Nicholas. This is when I wrote them down. I had Yankees Nats World Series. If that happens, I'll look like a genius, but I'm hoping that this is Cardinals Astros.
Yeah, 100. I mean,
Nats Astros, either way.
Yeah. I mean, I know Josh Rapp is a big Cardinals fan. Yeah. He probably has a lot to talk about in regards to that. But at the Astros, I mean, what did Joel pick, by the way? I just looked at your...
He had an Astros-Dodgers World Series.
Astros-Dodgers?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, no, I don't think anybody anticipated the Dodgers getting bounced the way they did. I was watching that game. I was just, wow. I mean, I didn't feel sorry for him. I was just saying, that was just...
If I had to rank the teams, left, I think I'd go Astros 1, Yankees 2. I think it's kind of hard to pick 3 and 4. I think the Cardinals and Nats are that close. I think the big advantage that the Cardinals have is their pitching. They're not as good offensively, but I think the same is true. That Nationals bullpen is awful. I mean, awful. And so if the Cardinals can weather the storm and their pitching can keep them in the game early, I think you'll see a bunch of Cardinals wins come, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 in the later innings. Against the Nationals team, whose bullpen, outside of Doolittle, and I'm forgetting their closer's name, but outside of those two guys, this has been an awful, awful bullpen for the Nationals.
How much confidence can be derived from scoring 10 runs in the first inning in a postseason game?
That's a fluke, though. They're not going to do that again.
Nothing.
No, I don't think they do that again.
Don't look at that. Remember, as something that's going to be carried over.
I realize Flaherty's really good for the Cardinals, and the Cardinals have a good pitching staff, but when you look at the top two or three for the Nationals, that's where the big separation is. I mean, Scherzer and Strasburg and those guys, you're not getting 10 runs off of them. I don't see that happening.
I thought AJ made a good point about Flaherty, too, because when that game got out of hand, he was still at, 111 pitches. Why not keep that guy? If that's a guy that you can use later on, why would you burn out his arm the way they did? But, I mean, that's what he chose to do. But,
yeah. Hey, guys, if you choose to bet on these games, if you choose to bet on baseball, bet on football, or bet on anything else, choose MyBookie. That's the play right there, man. With MyBookie, you bet, you win, you get paid. It's so easy. Nobody pays out faster. You get your cash when you want it. That is so important. I preach that so often. If you're going to go out there and take a flyer on those Yankees, being my bookie had them at plus 240 when I looked it up this morning. Man, go do that. Because look, man, who you bet on is as important as who you're betting with. And don't bet with some no-name sports book that you can't trust to give you your money when you want to get it out. We've had listeners text this show and say, dude, I had over $1,000 in my MyBookie account. No problem getting it out. It's absolutely true. I want you to get that money, and I want you to go with MyBookie. And when you sign up, dude, make sure you use that promo code radio. They're going to give you that exclusive double your money offer. You're only going to get it with promo code radio. They'll double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money when you sign up with MyBookie. Go do that. They've got parlays. They've got teasers. They've got more prop bets than any other sports book out there. They've got everything you could want and need, including the fact that you get paid and you get your money back when you ask for it. Guys, go sign up right now. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
One time for a who knows. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be saved. Don't save her. She don't wanna be.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm pumped to be here. I'm just pumped to be doing comedy. I used to work at the Western Sizzlin'. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like a Golden Corral. Without all the class, like a silver corral, like a bronze corral, like an okay corral. You know what I mean? Like it's all right in there. You know what I mean? I quit that job at Western Sizzlin'. I put in a 2-week notice, not because I'm a good employee, but because that's my favorite 2 weeks of any job I've ever had. You know what I mean? It's worth it to get the job just to put the 2-week notice in. It's like a little vacation right there at the end. It's where I get to say my favorite phrase at work, which is, I don't care, I'm about to quit. A lot of power in those words, you know? Your boss is like, hey, you know you were late today. I'm like, hey, you know I'm about to quit, right? Yeah, I'll be a little bit late. You know what I mean?
Dusty Slay, our comedian of the week here on The Usual Suspects. Get well soon to Joel. He is still out. Should be back Monday, he said, maybe. So until then, you're stuck with myself, Barry Laminack, Nick Sciarra, Aaron Raybould. We are getting you through your Friday, your fun Friday. F yeah, Friday.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing you forgot to say.
Oh, I did, right? Yeah. See, I didn't do the what up H-Town. AJ asked that. He was like, do you do that? I'm like, nah, no one does it like Joel.
Yeah, I did it and people didn't appreciate
it. Right. They hated
outside
on
it. Joel's sister, who you accused me of banging.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up. And that was a joke.
Okay.
Yeah, get well soon, Joel. Yeah, I texted Joel last night. I asked him, did he ever find his leg? It had been missing for over 24 hours.
And they found it?
They have found the leg.
It's been reattached?
One of his dogs ate it and pooped it out. So he's now got a poop leg that he's going to have to deal with. I don't know how that's going to work.
Well, at least he got his leg back.
True. Now we got to find his arm. And then his funny bone. Now, I'm sorry, Joel. I love you. You know I'm kidding, buddy. Get well soon. You know, that's got to suck with Lisa, you know, needing him right now. And then the leg, that's not fun in the Blank household.
No. I mean, usually you do much of the lifting, I would assume. I've never had a pregnant wife. But
who do you think's stronger?
Lisa or Joel? At this point, it might be Lisa.
I was going to say, just in general, Lisa's definitely stronger.
Joel's just a wuss, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, he's got those noodle arms. Actually, he doesn't. Did you notice how big his biceps are?
He's a big dude.
You could tell he used to power lift or something. He's not quite that guy that used to power lift, but is fat now. And don't take that the wrong way, L.U. Dillon. Is that a good
We didn't see L.U. Dillon, by the way.
That was for you, buddy. That was for you, Nick.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because, boy.
I thought for sure he would be at Madison's yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't even come by and say hi. I did ask about that. I was like, you know, a lot of the folks that we always enjoy seeing at those remotes, but I'm wondering if the floods didn't have something to do with a lot of folks.
For sure.
And work. Thursday's a little more difficult sometimes to get off than a Friday. But You know,
we still had some 97.5ers that joined and had some fun.
We did. We got a short segment here, but we're going to get to it 2:30. We've got your we didn't get to it yesterday, so Sigmund Bloom is going to join us here coming up next. So if you have last-minute fantasy questions, we're actually going to do it today. So fear not. If you want to, you can call right now, 713-780-3776. Get on the phone line with your fantasy questions. We'll put you on hold at 2:30 when we come back from break. Sigmund Bloom will join us. And you guys know how we do this every week. We normally do it on Thursday. We're going to do it today on Friday. But you get on the phone. We take your phone calls first. We're going to go rapid fire. You ask about that last flex question or, you know, who should I sit? Who should I start? What defense? What are my options for bye weeks? Whatever fantasy questions you have for Sigmund, he's going to answer it. Priority we go is phone first, text or tweets second. No, phone first, text second, tweets third. Yep. That's the priority.
That's how we do it.
713-780-3776. Go ahead and get on the phone lines now. We won't take your call now, but when we come back at 2:30, we will absolutely do that.
Bun B's in the building?
What happened? Man. Is somebody texting?
Every time Bun B is in studio, I miss it. Every single time.
Is he recording something?
Now I'm on Instagram
something?
And I see Brandon Strange. He's got a pic with Bun B.
Oh, were they doing a video? I saw Lance here earlier. Usually if Bun's here, Lance is here. That's why, yeah.
God.
They roll deep, I suppose.
He's been here like 15 times, and I miss him every single time.
I don't know, man. What are you doing with your life?
I don't know.
That sounds like that's a you problem.
It's a personal problem.
Yeah. You know what? You got choices. You either work or just hang out not collecting a check until Bun B shows up. Your call. I don't know. Clarence tweeted us and says, so now you're saying that Pac-Man Joel can do the stanky lick. I shouldn't have read that tweet.
That was not awful. That was a good tweet,
Clarence,
actually.
It was a good tweet?
I think so. Stanky leg, that was funny.
Because of poop?
No, because of his leg being all messed up.
Because I said it was poop now. His dog pooped it out. So he was saying... that's on me. I got to be a better tweet reader. That's terrible. This city's got to do better at rally tallying. I got to do better at reading tweets. But you know what you could do better at? Putting money in your account? You could do that through GetUpside. And guys, listen, I love Aaron. Aaron, how much just – I'm gonna get you to jump in. What do you think – give me a ballpark that you and your wife have combined in y'all's accounts. Just ballpark. You don't have to be specific.
Probably around 60 bucks.
Yeah. That's 60 bucks that you would have left at the pump, you would have left at the table, and I know you and your wife fight about who gets to fill up the car because you both have your own GetUpside account. Guys, be like Aaron. Go claim your $60, man. These businesses want you to go to them. That's why they're partnered up with GetUpside. But you are leaving money at the pump and at the table if you're not using this app. It's that simple. All you have to do is download it. There's no commitments. Look, if Aaron decides he doesn't want to use it anymore, he just stops using it. He's not locked into anything. There's no requirements other than... get that cash back. Get that money back in your pocket just by using the app. And it's so simple. GetUpside is free to install. And then you go and you pull up a map and you go, what gas stations are in my area? What restaurants are in my area where I can get up to 35% cash back? And don't forget, use that promo code Barry. You'll get an extra bump on your first fill up through the app. It's worth it. I promise you, if you're listening to my voice and you've heard me talk about GetUpside before, but you haven't installed it yet, do yourself a favor. Go install it. Use it this weekend. See how easy it is. And if you don't like it, just stop using it. But I promise you're going to love it. So do yourself a favor. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, it was almost right. No Joel Blank today, but this is The Usual Suspects. You do have Barry Laminack. You do have Nick Sciarra. You have Aaron Rabel behind the glass joining us. Until Joel gets back on Monday, we wish him a speedy recovery. But right now, it's fantasy football time, and joining us, one of the best in the business. He joins us every week. We were on location yesterday, so we couldn't get Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com on the phone. But he was nice enough to make some time on his schedule to join us today to get your questions answered. So without further ado, I bring him in. Sigmund, how are you, my friend?
Good. Did y'all have to go to Beaumont just to get away from the mass anxiety? Has everyone exhaled?
Yeah, we're all breathing a little bit. There are a lot of not-so-puckered beeholes in Houston anymore, at least for a day.
It's always a better way to be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, so if you want to get on the phone, if you have fantasy questions for Sigmund, you can call right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can text that number as well. Sigmund, my question right now is, if you're a Todd Gurley owner, one, do you? I know you had to wait until the final injury report, but do you even trust him to get out there and give you quality numbers this week?
No, and I think that it's the specter of last year. And, well, hey, if he goes out there and plays against San Francisco and looks good, then we can put this behind us. But the way that Sean McVay said, we didn't know about this injury, the fact that the game was Thursday night, so he's had a full week and he's still not practicing. So whatever he does in practice today doesn't necessarily give me that much solace. I need to see him on the field. I need to see him looking at least as good as he did last week. He still doesn't look like he did last year before the injury. But, yeah, this is bringing back bad memories.
All right, now do you have any other stuff that you're seeing out there that you wanted to just kind of general information for our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I think that we have to watch David Johnson for Arizona. Now, he did practice in some form today, although his back locked up with his back issues oftentimes comes back to how the player is feeling. Chase Edmonds, I think, is a good play no matter what against Atlanta's defense. You saw what Houston did to them last week. So I think we're going to like whoever is at running back, maybe both of the Arizona running backs. Marquise Brown is a game-time decision. The rookie hasn't played. You look at Willie Snead as someone if you need to pick up a wide receiver off of the waiver wire. I don't think you're going to see Brown. Tyreek Hill is a game-time decision. You plug him right in if he's playing. If he's not, Byron Pringle, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson all become more interesting. But against that Houston secondary, they're all any of them could get free behind the defense at least once, so they all still are worth the look. But if Hill's out, they're much more attractive plays.
All right, the board is filling up, but real quick, were you surprised at Golden Tate's production?
I was surprised at him making a downfield play, and Daniel Jones did throw that ball into a tight window, and there were other plays that Tate was being held. So, yeah, Tate looks like a good pickup now going forward with Daniel Jones giving them some competent play when they're not facing tough defenses.
Good, because I took a late flyer on him just to stash him. I'm confident in that. All right, let's get to these phone calls. We're going to start at the top and work our way down the board. Jose, you're up first with a wide receiver question for Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got Calvin Ridley, Metcalf, Diggs, and Jarvis Landry. What would be the best combination?
I would go with Ridley and Diggs. I think the Arizona-Atlanta game is going to be high scoring, and I think Minnesota is going to take a lot of shots at Philly secondary.
All right, there you go. Oscar is up next. Oscar, go ahead, my friend.
I got a wide receiver question as well. I have Cooper Kupp and Larry Fitzgerald. They're pretty much solid on my team. But I have Stephon Diggs, Sammy Watkins, and Mike Williams. Who should I put in?
Yeah, I like Diggs again there. Watkins, I expect, will not play. He hasn't practiced. Williams is playing the Steelers on Sunday night. Not a bad matchup, but the Chargers lost their center. They already lost their left tackle. Steelers defense is pretty good, so it might be a long night, Phillip Rivers.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you have fantasy questions from one of the best in the business, there is none better. I'll go ahead and say it. Sigmund Bloom is joining us, so get on the phone line with those questions, and we'll get you in. If not, you can text the show or tweet us, and we'll try to get those as well. Back to these phone lines, Edgar with a flex question. Go ahead, Edgar.
I got flex, MPPR, Lindsey, running back, or receiver. Oh, hell yeah, I got me caught up. Cowboys receiver.
Gallup, Michael Gallup?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Gallup this week. Randall Cobb probably isn't going to play like the matchup against the Jets. Phillip Lindsay's been fantastic, although the Tennessee is a tough run defense. He's still splitting with Royce Freeman. I'd probably go with Gallup.
Well, all right, there you go. Archie has a quarterback question for you. Go ahead, Archie.
I've got Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. Who do I start?
I think Mahomes is going to be okay with that ankle, and Lamar Jackson without Marquise Brown is a little less attractive, so I would stick with Mahomes.
It's interesting because the problem I have, Sigmund, week in and week out right now, one of my teams is I have both Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson, and it's kind of a coin flip now with the way that Watson performed last week, right?
It is, and you put yourself in Bill O'Brien's shoes. I think they're still going to try to run the ball a lot. They should, really, looking at what Indianapolis did. So I'm not sure that I would start Watson over Jackson this week, but they're both top four plays. Really what you need to do, though, is find that team that needs a quarterback and trade one of them for something that's going to help your starting lineup.
That's true. All right, 713-780-3776. You can get great advice like that from Sigmund Bloom. Just hop on the phone line, 713-780-ESPN. It's that easy. You can get your fantasy questions answered. Up next is Eric with a running back and a wide receiver question. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, PPR league, Jordan Howard or Tevin Coleman? And then wide receiver, Robert Woods or Michael Gallup?
I love Gallup this week. Between Howard and Coleman, I actually have them right next to each other in my ranking. It's kind of a coin flip. I do look at Jordan Howard and the games he's had against Minnesota in the past as a Chicago Bear, and I think that Philadelphia is still going to give him the opportunity. So I'd probably play him over Coleman. San Francisco lost their other starting offensive tackle going up against the Rams this week. That could be a defensive battle, but I won't talk you out of Coleman.
All right. Yasir has a wide receiver and a flex question for you. Go ahead, Yasir.
Hey. I wanted to know between Tyreek Hill, Todd Gurley, and Brandon Cooks and Alshon Jeffrey, who should be my one receiver and who should be my flex?
Yeah, if Hill is playing, Hill has to be in, and then I would probably go with Jeffrey next. Now, the San Francisco defense has been really good, so Cooks it should be playing. If Hill's out, then I think you have to go with Cooks and Jeffrey. As we talked about, you can't trust Gurley this week.
There you go, 713-780-3776. You still got a couple of minutes. We're going to switch over to the text line real quick, get a couple of these text messages in, and then we'll hop on the Twitters and see if – but again, we'll take calls first. So if you want to get your fantasy question in for Sigmund Bloom, 713-780-ESPN. From the text line, Sigmund, somebody wants to know, do you start Mahomes or do you start Watson?
Yeah, I'm going to give the edge to Mahomes just because I think it's the Houston secondary that's vulnerable. And if Tyreek Hill comes back, that really tips it, especially in Mahomes' favor. If Hill isn't playing, look, I'm not going to talk anybody else benching benching Mahomes for Watson the way Watson played last week. So it really comes down to Tyreek Hill's status.
All right, more on the text line. Somebody wants to know, they're 0-5. What is Saquon worth? Would Cortland Sutton and Josh Jacobs be too much?
If I would want to get Saquon. And not he's probably going to play in week 7. It's already too late to have him for week 6. If you somehow make the playoffs, you want to have Barkley. That being said, Josh Jacobs looks fantastic and probably is being undervalued. So I still don't think that's enough for Barkley. If you're trading away Barkley, you want to hold on to him. But I do think Jacobs is a good trade target right now.
Crazy, as we're sitting here talking, Sigmund, I just got a fantasy update alert from Yahoo that said Todd Gurley has been changed from questionable to doubtful now. So
that probably answers that.
Yeah, all right, back to the phone lines. Joseph has a running back question. Joseph, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to see if I should start Melvin Gordon this week.
Sure. It's not a great matchup against the Steelers, and they're going to be missing Mike Pouncey, but he's still going to get 15, 18 touches. Basically, Gordon and Eckler are the number 2A, 2B receivers. So in PPR leagues especially, that gives you a safe floor. And I think he'll look better than he did last week. They tried to give him the ball a lot early. Didn't look like it was clicking. So I would go with him, but I would still have medium expectations.
All right, if you're on the phone line, you're in, but we're going to cap it there. If you didn't get in, there's always next week. There's always Twitter, and we'll get all that info from Sigmund as well.
Yeah.
Greg has a running back question. Greg, go ahead.
Okay, I have Jones, Coleman, and Howard, and I only need 2.
Yeah, if Jones, I'm assuming it's Aaron Jones, and he would have to be
yes,
in.
Sir.
And then I give a small edge for Howard over Coleman, but I won't talk you out of Coleman after how the 49ers ran the ball last week, but I would go with Howard.
Very good. All right, Jack has a wide receiver question. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I got DJ Chark, Stephon Diggs. Who are you going with this week? I'm worried about Lattimore locking down Chark.
Yeah, that's definitely a fair concern, and I would expect that after what he did to Mike Evans. So I would actually go with Stephon Diggs. Again, Philadelphia's one of the worst secondaries in the league, and I think it's going to be a big game for Diggs.
No one does it better. Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Sigmund, we talked about it. We had to cap it. How can the folks get a hold of you, and what do you guys have going over there at footballguys.com that they can take advantage of?
Yeah, we've my podcast is free, 8 episodes a week. Our newsletter is free. I answer questions in our message board in a thread, the Shark Pool, on Sunday mornings. Of course, you can try to hit me on Twitter, too. And also on our YouTube channel, because when we record our podcast, we actually have a live stream on our YouTube channel, and then we rip the audio and make that our podcast. And when we get over 10,000 subscribers, we're about a few hundred away, we're going to do something pretty special, some sort of giveaway. So I'm going to encourage people to get in on that.
Yeah, for sure. Did you say 8 podcasts a week?
Yeah. Well, you just we enjoy it, and we enjoy recording with each other and our audience. You know, I think at this point, really, podcasts are help keeping people company. You know,
right?
Helping them getting through the parts of their life that make them weary. I hear that from people a lot, so it helps our day go. It doesn't feel like work to me. I'm sure you can share that sentiment, Barry. You know, we get to do this. We get to talk, and we're lucky to call it work. So give the people what they want.
Nah, I'm with you. Hey, that's Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. Sigmund, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Always a pleasure.
There you go. Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Nobody does it better, you guys. And you know what? Nobody does virtual reality better than zero latency. I am so excited. The grand opening is finally here. It's tomorrow. Now, let me get this out of the way right up front. Promo code ESPNGO. You go to zlhouston.com, use ESPNGO. As a promo code, you're going to save $5 when you book for tomorrow. I'm going to be there from noon until 2 p.m. playing all these virtual reality games. Go to Barry is Funny on Twitter and check out the video of me and AJ trying to fight off zombies. It's a blast. People were responding. That looks like so much fun. It absolutely is. You guys are going to love it. It's super easy to get to, just off the Beltway, past the Beltway on I-10. You turn at Derry Ashford. It's right there near the Chili's and the Whataburger and Cavender's. But guys, birthday parties, team parties, family meetups, reunions. You just want to go do some bonding with the kids. This new virtual reality that zero latency has, it's absolutely amazing. It's in like a warehouse. There's no tethers. You're not locked in. You are free roaming, walking around, killing zombies, and having a good time. I promise you, you're going to have a blast, especially if you're a gamer and you're into shooting games. Go try it. And if you have a business, it's a great corporate outing as well. So check them out. Go to zlhouston.com. That's zlhouston.com. Don't forget, ESPN Go will save you $5. And I'll see y'all tomorrow at the grand opening. D-boy mouth, I'm a 20-inch crawler, bust a left or right, I'm out of sight, I'm throwed, I'm bouncing off the road, I'm in a modem of the...
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Oh, 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 no, no. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back, Usual Suspects. One and three. I'm not doing it. Hey, if you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780. ESPN is the number. You can text us. You can tweet us at the producer Nick, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Barry is Funny. Busy show today. This has flown by. I can't believe we're approaching the 3 o'clock hour already.
Yeah, we had Dusty Slay in the first hour for 30 minutes. Normally, we just keep the stand up comics that join us in studio for one segment. He was so good, we kept him for a half hour. I felt like that first hour really went by. Then we obviously have Sigmund Bloom, who was postponed from yesterday. For our fantasy segment, which I always love, Sigmund Bloom is legit. We should keep record of how many callers he gets through, callers and texts, because I'm sure it's an enormous number.
It's crazy. It's crazy, especially when you consider how rapid fire it is and how you know that he's got something in front of him. There's no way he has all of that memorized. Although I guess if you do it enough, you kind of. No, but you consider how many wide receivers is a 3-deep position, how many running backs, you know, 1.5 to 2 deep, I guess, if you're averaging it out, or guys that would be fantasy worthy, plus quarterbacks, plus defenses, plus trades, plus, and the fact that he's just like, yep, he can hear him. I would be, if I was Sigmund Bloom, somebody would be like, hey, I was thinking about Galloway and Jones and, you know, Hopkins. I'd be like, what was the first one again? It would take me 5 minutes to get through one call because my memory is terrible. It's amazing.
I was just going to say, our listeners do a pretty good job of keeping the questions concise. Every yes. now and then we'll get a long-winded person or someone who's
idiot.
Not.
You can say idiot.
Yeah, it's that's okay. just not ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've seen some of them, like, they'll throw out 3-4 different names.
And,
like,
and a couple different scenarios, right? All right, now
this
for
is my
flex,
wide receiver situation. Yeah, this is my running back situation. Yeah.
He does it all. It's amazing, man. Best in the business. Footballguys.com. Check that out. 3:30, we got Sarah Barshop. The guests just keep on coming. Sarah's going to join us at 3:30 to talk Texans. Speaking of that, somebody on the text line had a question for us. They said, hey, guys, where'd it go? What the hell? Hey, guys, longtime listener, first time texting. My question is, if you guys were the Houston Texans coach, what would you make sure Deshaun Watson focuses on this next game? That's from O'Reilly's Dave.
For me, I would be working with... I would be working with the D coordinator and seeing what he expects of the opponent's defense and seeing if there's some sort of situation that they can exploit similar to last game where most of the coverage was on Hopkins and, Will Fuller had a field day.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I was having a brain fart there. But, yeah, if there's another scenario like that, I don't know if from a defensive perspective, considering the performance that Fuller came off of, they're going to look at that situation any differently. But I would imagine that if they can exploit something that Hopkins could see throwing the ball, I think that would be the ideal situation. Is it going to happen every game? No. Is Hopkins going to throw for another 400 yards? I'm going to say no, probably no. It would be amazing if he did. But I think that's what they should explore. I think that should be one of several focuses, not the only focus.
Yeah, I think you'll probably, Sigmund alluded to it when he joined us, but you're probably, this Chiefs front seven, they give up 155 yards a game.
Yep.
You're going to get a steady dose of Hyde and Duke Johnson.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Bill O'Brien, if you're this Texans coaching staff, you want to go to Deshaun Watson and say, listen, last week what you did was ideal. The decision making, the process that you went through, not hanging onto the ball too long, dumping it down to your tight ends when you needed to, dumping it down to Duke Johnson or Carlos Hyde in the flat if you need to do that. For me, it would just be week after week just working with Deshaun Watson on decision-making. You know the playmaking is there. He's still young. You want him to get better at decision-making. That's just going to come over time and being able to read defenses. But that would be my focus with him for the rest. The throws are there. The accuracy is there. The ability to get out of the pocket and make plays, all of that is fine. It's just, you know, and again, I give a lot of credit to Lance Zierlein, who has been beating this drum for a long time. But when it comes to Deshaun Watson, sometimes he waits too long to make a decision or he's trying to look for the spectacular play. Dude, there's nothing wrong with a 3-yard pass to a tight end in the flat if nothing else is open.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they'll continue to hammer home with him. It worked last week to a T. You look, you got tight ends involved in 2 touchdown passes. That's perfect. If they're able to run the ball, and you know, which it's kind of the old Gary Kubiak style offense, run the ball, deep pass. And I mean, I feel like you could do that against this Chiefs defense because that front seven is susceptible to the run.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's one thing to look at. Another thing that you can potentially look at is the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line is probably a little more banged up than they'd like to be. Maybe that's something the defense could take advantage of. Look, there's an opportunity here. I mean, the Chiefs are not necessarily clicking on all cylinders in the past two games, and this might be an opportunity for you to take advantage of that. Now, they lost to a divisional team in the Colts last week, and now the Colts are on a bye. I don't know if they want to lose to another AFC South team, and I would imagine that manufactures some motivation and some confidence. But for the most part, they're banged up on that O-line. There's a lot you can take advantage of if you're Bill O'Brien and the Texans. It's up to him to do it.
Yeah, the thing that worries me, that it always worries me when you face the Chiefs, to me, and I know the go-to is everybody's going to say, well, Patrick Mahomes, obviously, right? Oh, Tyreek Hill, right? I'll be honest with you. Those guys worry me. There's no doubt about that, especially if Tyreek Hill is healthy.
Sure.
Travis Kelce is the guy that worries me.
Who's going to stop him?
He is the Texan killer. I feel like if they can hold Kelce to, you know, maybe 5 catches, less than 75 yards, that's a good day for this Texans defense, if they can hold him to that.
Yeah, we talk about tight ends and how it's very top heavy, and then you kind of see a drop off. And I've said on the air before that I feel like that drop off, that gap is starting to close. Kelce's just one of those guys that he's going to get his targets, he's going to get his catches, and it becomes a situation where you do the best you can covering and hope hope he drops a ball here, or you just do the best you can. It's a situation where you it's like damage control. You try to minimize the damage that he can do, but he's probably going to get his way for the most part with the Texans.
Against the Colts, he had 10 targets, 4 catches, 70 yards. He's only got one touchdown this year, so that's kind of interesting. And the Chiefs offense has been, it is explosive. For him to only have one touchdown, you just know he's waiting to catch up in that department. You got to worry that the Texans is a get-right game for Travis Kelce from a statistical standpoint.
Well, look, we saw a lot of some success with Sammy Watkins early on, and now it looks like he's back at, you know, back with the injury bug. Maybe it's an opportunity for Travis Kelce to get more touchdowns. I don't know. Look, their dynamic is different now with considering their injury situation. You don't know who's going to pop off with this Chiefs team. I don't think the Chiefs are going to absolutely kill the Texans. I think it's going to be closer than people expect.
Yeah. What do you think is going to happen?
I just don't think it's going to be more than like a touchdown loss for the Texans. I really don't. I think the fact that the O-line is pretty banged up. I think the fact that Tyreek Hill he may or may not play. There's a lot of ifs with the Chiefs, and I really think the Texans could take advantage of it. They're going to win? But I don't think it's going to be a complete butt kicking by the Chiefs.
Spread when it opened was 5.5. It's now down to 4.5. So that tells you people are going out there and putting money on the Texans.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill being a game time decision, it may be Andy Reid just playing games. It may not be. It may have, you know, that movement may be because of the performance that Deshaun Watson and the offense had last week, and they know that this Chiefs defense isn't good. I think it's probably 4.5 is probably low. I mean, you know, me and my stupid spreadsheet, I had this as 28-21 Chiefs. I mean, exactly.
But I've seen a lot of people throw out that score. I've seen scores within 6, 7, and 3 points. Yeah. So it's all over.
This is my spreadsheet, 27.9 to 21.05. So if you round up and round down, it's a touchdown game. I guess we'll find out. All right, we got plenty more. That is 2 in the books, 1 to go. Plenty more of the Big Show. What? He did it. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. I'm trying to get ghost, oh yeah.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate,